Some men do say King Arthur is not dead, but by the will of our Lord Jesu sleeps, yet to awake, deathless, and reassure us. And therefore is it, that grave where he is laid, this legend hath, that still his kingdom keeps.
Gather round all your hunks of Camelot, cuz it's your boys in the back to rock the spot, the podcast about Merlin season 3. And on the mics tonight, yo, Chris and Jeremy, and they're here to break down every episode. So leave those 5 stars and click that download. Enjoy the show, whether you're chillin' or working. So let's jump into season 3 of Merlin, cuz still his kingdom keeps. Still his kingdom keeps. Still his kingdom keeps. Excalibur in the streets and magic in the sheets, huh?
I'm Jeremy Greer.
I've been missing for a year, and I'm Chris Mosier.
And this is a creepy but necessary podcast. Oh, God damn it, Chris, he makes me up. This is Still His Kingdom Keeps, a creepy but necessary podcast where Chris and a missing poster and I... No, wait. No, you fucked me up. I'm ruining my own jokes now. God damn it, Chris. We cover the TV show Merlin. I've been doing it with a missing persons poster is my joke. That was what I was going to say.
I've been gone for a year. I've been gone for a year. If you're looking at the date of the previous podcast and you're thinking, Chris, that wasn't a year ago. Yeah. Think again.
We had a good lead time. We recorded a lot of these in advance. So welcome back for your missing trip. Do you want to tell us where you were?
I was actually being held captive by brigands. I first mistook my big mistake, how I got myself into the situation. I mistook them for bandits, but I actually turned out that they were brigands, and that's how they got the drop
easy,
on me.
Easy mistake.
A year later, here I am, and I am just the same as always. I'm normal. I'm nice. I'm not a hater, if that's what you were going to say.
Not a hater.
You were thinking, you seem like sort of a hater now. No. Those brigands were haters, but not.
Let me give you a thing, and you can tell me if you hate it or not.
Okay, yeah.
Patreon.com/monster of the week.
No, I would never hate such a thing.
Okay, excellent. You're not a hater, absolutely. No. Nor are any of the people that donate money every month. They get cool stuff.
No, absolutely not. I mean, maybe like one. Like maybe patches.
Patches. But other than that. You're just mad at him because he called us out on Twitter today. That's your only problem.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
Yeah, he said that we went through a whole dragon episode and never mentioned Skyrim. And yeah, we did, because I never played Skyrim, so I don't give a shit about it.
Wow.
Anyway, we're back with the beginning of season 3. We have new music. Yeah. You don't know that.
I haven't heard it yet.
No, because I literally just yesterday.
I will. By the time that you're hearing this episode, I will have heard the song.
It's true. I asked Jakey yesterday to do some more remixes for us, because I put a call out on Twitter thinking, like, get some different blood in there, you know, get a different perspective, nobody responded, and I'm like, okay.
Same blood.
Jake's blood is good. We love it. He's fantastic at doing everything. Mm-hmm. I haven't good heard blood. Anything he did for season 3 yet, but I'm sure it fucking rocks, so enjoy that remix
of
Merlin.
I'm sure it's good blood, for sure.
Chris, catch us up. What's been happening in Merlin?
Last time on Merlin, the cryptic crisis in Camelot continued to confound. I'm not going to do that the whole time. The web of magic and deceit grew ever more complex last season as kings and sorceresses and druids all sought to bring an end to King Uther. Arthur and Gwen found an impossible love. Morgana found strength and resolve in more ghosts. And Merlin, despite all his best efforts and many allies, nearly brought Camelot to ruin when he released the dragon. But with the threat of the dragon gone, what is next for the fabled kingdom?
We're covering today season 3 episode 1, The Tears of Uther Pendragon, part 1. Merlin and Arthur have been on many quests in search of the missing Lady Morgana. The despondent prince is all but ready to give up, but as they recover from their latest skirmish, a bruised, bloodied figure emerges from the mist. It is the Lady Morgana.
She was neither bruised nor bloodied.
Yeah, neither was he willing to give up, so this is all. King Uther is overjoyed, but then starts to lose his mind. Merlin thinks that magic is the cause. No, he doesn't. Could this be the work of his ward? They tell you very specifically. This aired on September 11th, 2010. Directed by Goblins. No, I'm sorry. Shit. I accidentally copied and pasted too much, so it says, like, next episode, Goblins Gold. And I was like, oh, this is directed by Goblins Gold.
Oh, cool.
Directed by Jeremy Webb and written by Julian Jones. And
Goblins Gold is like a good MC name.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a goblin gold, and I'm here to get all your gold. Gobble, 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 gold, gold.
Goblin's gold is a hater, though.
Yeah, yeah, he absolutely. Is a hater. Absolute hater. Yeah, him and Cardi B are mixing it up right now, so I don't really want to get...
Big time hater.
Big beef. Big beef with Cardi B. So, yeah, we start out. Erlen and... Erlen? That's a new one. Mm-hmm. Arthur and Merlin are riding through a battlefield, which makes me think that everybody from Camelot is a soldier in this army, because like there's just so many bodies. There's so many bodies.
Camelot feels so small, but sometimes they do their best to make it big. And you know what? I feel like this is the first taste we're going to get of an increase in the budget. Not like season 4, and I assume 5. But, you know, we're getting some wide shots of fields. Like, they're doing some set dressing out here. Mm-hmm. We got bodies everywhere. There's, you know, smoke billowing into the sky. They're increasing the budget just a little bit. If only because there's just more guys on screen.
Yeah, if only for that. They're checking for survivors, and Arthur realizes that this the party that attacked this patrol was going north, so he wants to pursue their attackers. And this was my first notice of kind of an increased budget. The shot of Uther... It's a very dramatic shot of Uther staring out a window moodily, and as you know, Gaius approaches from the foreground towards him. Just looks really, really good for being, you know.
Yeah, it does.
Gaius and Uther, who are not, you know, usually the most dramatically filmed characters in the story. Gaius has some concerns because Uther has been obviously put a lot of men in the field trying to find the Lady Morgana, and you know, it's costing lives. It's actually costing. There's a actual cost to this, and Uther refuses to give up. He's not going to
and
stop.
And
Gaius
is like, can I talk to you as a friend? And
nope.
Uther says, I have no time for friends.
No time for friends.
That's really funny.
Really funny line. Absolutely. So he's like, well, I'm going to talk to you like a physician then. And he's like, I don't really have time for physicians either. Can you talk to me like you were...
He starts diagnosing Uther. This isn't helpful at all right now.
Can you talk to me like you were quiet? I'd like you to talk to me like you have never learned to speak, please.
Just Gaius is just glaring at him silently.
That one eyebrow racing to the sun.
Uther's like, okay, it's worse. Just say whatever you have to say.
Yeah, this is the face is much worse, Gaius. Please make this go away.
We cut back to Merlin and Arthur in the woods. Merlin's just complaining about being on a horse all day. They just like have to remind us, like, hey, remember, we got our lads here. And they love to bust each other's chops. So there's a lot of that. The trading insults back and forth.
Dollop head.
Big, you know, just we'll stop the break in the action just for them to insult each other.
Arthur says, tell me what a dollop head is in 2 words. And Merlin replies, Prince Arthur. Got him. Fucking roasted, man.
Merlin's a hater, dude.
He's
so
a hater. Absolute hater right now.
So they find an abandoned camp in the woods, and they go out to investigate. It's, you know, Arthur, Merlin, and all of his men with him. And then suddenly, I didn't notice this beforehand, but it looked like a fog suddenly rolled in. And then out of that fog, they are attacked. I don't know if the fog was already there before, but in my head, it was magic fog.
Hmm. I don't care if it was magic fog or not. If you tell me it was magic fog, I'll believe you. I feel like that
it was magic
elevates...
fog.
Is the fog in Silent Hill magic fog, or is that just PS2 fog and everybody kind of sees?
I think it's it was PS2 fog, mm-hmm. And then I think it's depression fog.
I forgot it was a metaphor.
It's a metaphor, but originally it was just PS1 fog.
Okay,
and then on PS2 they go, we're still gonna do the fog, guys, but this time it's sadness fog. Anyway, there's a big battle. There's
it's
a big brigand battle.
Yeah,
they thought they were bandits, but they were actually brigands, and that was the situation. And obviously, Merlin gets like a couple bodies in this one.
Chris,
he's always using his tricksy tricks to score some kills.
I would love to know the guy or the lad or the girl or the NB that is writing the ways that Merlin can kill people via magic, because like it's never fireball, it's never ice in your heart, it's never, you know, telekinetic something. Today it's a guy whips a sword out of Merlin's hand, and then he holds the sword in both hands above his head as if he's going for a giant chop, and Merlin at the very last minute magnetizes the sword so that pots and pans zoom to it.
Dude,
and it makes the sword so heavy that the guy falls over backwards.
What are we dies.
What are we doing? So
it's
weird.
Tricks, dude. It's like pranks. He can't get rid of his prankster spirit. There's like, you know, one guy he ties his shoelaces together, and the dude trips forward and breaks his neck or whatever, because they always end up dead. Throws a spear through a guy. I mean, that was to save Arthur's life, but he throws a spear through a guy. He chops a tree down on a man. It's he loves to drop a branch on a man. This time it was a whole tree. But yeah, he scores a couple kills. Again, Arthur gives him a hard time about being scared and hiding behind a tree. But just as the dust of this fight begins to settle, obviously Camelot came out victorious. As the dust begins to settle, we see a lone figure walk out of the fog. And sure enough, it's Morgana, neither bloodied nor bruised. She looks a little frazzled, I guess. Is that as far as I would go?
She's got streaks of mud on her face. Her hair is kind of a little frazzled, like her clothes are kind of torn. She's obviously
very
confused.
This is just me in the morning, you know what I mean? A little mud on my face, my hair is a mess.
100%. Yeah. This is just me. Yeah, I mean, ever since you started sleeping in that mud pit, like it's been a little weird.
To be fair, the mud pit was a decision, you know what I mean?
It was a life choice. Yeah, of course. We see the intro, and then we jump over to Morgana and Camelot. She's being looked after by Gaius, who, guess what? What does he recommend? Morgana, go to sleep. Yeah, go right to bed. I need you right back in this bed where I told you belong. Gwyn offers to stay with her. Gaius tells Uther out in the hallway, like, homie, you can't go see her. She's resting. Gotta go see her in the morning. And when we get back to the lab, Merlin is kind of nervously waiting for Gaius to show up because, of course, the last interaction Gaius had with Morgana was when he poisoned her to try to save Camelot. And he's concerned that that she's going to tell everybody that.
She's a snitch. She could be a snitch.
She could be a snitch. Worse than a hater.
He's got the hater sweats right now. Like believe me, as a hater, I know when you're talking that shit and then suddenly you got to walk the walk.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly you get the hater sweats. Uh-huh. You go, well, hold on.
You've been talking a lot of shit about Megan Thee Stallion, but you did not expect her to DM you on Instagram.
That's right. Now I got Megan in my DMs. So I'm like, Megan, take it back.
Meg, I love you. I love your Tiny Desk concert. I was just trying to gain some popularity by insulting you.
Meg, I think it's weird that you like Black Clover, but that's cool. Do your thing.
Do your thing, Meg. You seem like you have a good vibe about you. I'm sorry, Meg.
Weird taste in anime, but you're cool. I'm sorry. Anyway, Uther, is he here? No. All right.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, all right. Merlin's stewing in his haterade because he, again, tried to assassinate Morgana for the good of the kingdoms. And Gaius is like, you know what? Just sleep on it. We'll see how it goes.
It'll be fine. Merlin kind of wonders, like, I wonder what Uther would do if he found out that I had magic, though. And Gaius is like, it'll be fine. It's all good.
It'll be fine. You'll be executed, but it'll be fine.
The next day.
And then that morning, he's awoken and told that his presence is requested in Morgana's chambers.
Arthur. And he goes up there where he kind of overhears Morgana telling Arthur about her journey. And it sounds like a very trying experience where she was concerned for her life. They stumbled upon the patrol from Camelot and she thought that she was saved, but instead the group holding her, the brigands that were holding her, killed all of them. And when she saw that when they were distracted, when they were celebrating, she ran away, and that's when she saw Arthur and she knew that she was saved. And she's, throughout all of this, she's just like played it up to the nth degree, right? She's having a really good
meanwhile,
time.
Meanwhile, as Merlin walks up the stairs, he's kind of like having like an argument in his head where he comes out on top. He's like, no, you have magic. No, you're stupid. You're dumb.
This is what Autumn and I refer to as flat ironing your hair about something, where you're just making up an argument to have with somebody. You're just having a whole conversation in your head about trying to own somebody later.
Well, if I tried to poison you, then how come you're still alive? You're dumb. It's just, Merlin, these aren't good.
If I had,
not saying it with a lot of confidence.
If I had magic, why would I be wearing these clothes?
And he keeps like kind of like fist pumping to himself, and then he walks in. No, he looks stricken. He looks like a hater who just got caught. He just looks like Meg just came into his DMs. You know what I mean?
Also, I wanted to mention this at the beginning, but I forgot, so let's just get it out of the way here now. He's got a haircut. Merlin has a little bit
of a haircut.
He's changed hairstylist. Gaius is no longer doing his hair. Gwyn started doing his hair, so it no longer looks quite as bad. It still looks very
it's Paige. Still in character. Like, she did it so that he could push it up. You know what I mean? Like, in a more, like, popular, modern style.
She did it so they could go to...
The second that he got home, though, one bath, it was gone. And he's never pushed it up again.
Well, she did it so that he could push it down by day, have the bowl cut by day, but then he could spike it up for emo night. You know what I'm saying? For the weekly emo night.
Merlin goes to the tavern, emo night, definitely. Yeah.
I can't wait till we get to the tavern era of Merlin. It's going to be a lot of fun when we introduce the tavern.
That's where they hold emo night.
That's where they go to emo night. Merlin overhears all of this stuff, and then as Morgana and Arthur hug one another. Morgana sees Merlin and they kind of pull back from one another. Arthur leaves and Merlin goes to follow, but she stops him and says, hey, I know what you did. You tried to poison me, but don't worry. I understand what you did. You were just trying to protect your friends. And I think that's probably your first clue. Like if you didn't get the overall like impression that she was maybe faking this, like the way she says you were trying to protect your friends, I think that's probably your first clue. But she continues to say, I was so naive. I didn't know what I was doing. I was gone off the lean. I was doing the evil things. Yep. And yep. I understand, because I've been in the world. I've seen true evil and I know what Uther is fighting against. And she tells him she regrets everything and she wants Merlin's forgiveness. And of course, Merlin is like kind of shocked by this, but doesn't question it at all. And instead is like, oh my God, I'm so happy you said that. I was really worried that this was going to be a problem, but you seem totally cool with me trying to kill you. That's great.
I was totally worried that you were going to be mad that I tried to murder you. This is really great. I just wish, again, as I lament every other episode, Merlin would explain himself a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's just not his style. He's not good at explaining himself or talking to girls. So, but where Merlin is a hater with like a lowercase h, like he's not like, you know, I don't like to say like I'm a podcaster. I'm not a gamer. Mm-hmm. I'm a person who does a podcast. I am a person who plays video games. Whereas Merlin is a person who hates, right? It's just a thing that he does. But Morgana, on the other hand, she's a hater with a capital H. She puts that up in her Twitter bio right up front. She is a hater. And the fact that she's not hating, that's when you need to fear a hater the most, because something's brewing. Something's brewing.
Mm-hmm. It's
also Joker wisdom, in case you didn't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Something's brewing. AKA Joker motivational quotes. They share a smile together, and then Merlin goes to clean Arthur's floors. This whole scene is very funny. Arthur walks in and Merlin's like happy. He's like smiling. He's like, this, you know, the sun is shining and I finished all my chores. And Arthur walks over, takes off his shirt, and then they get into an argument about how
to
scrub a
floor. Is it
in his contract
that he has to be shirtless every episode?
If I was that dude, yeah, sure, why not?
I mean, for sure. If I was cut, my shirt would never be on. But.
If I was cut, if I was ripped, if I was tore up, I would never wear a shirt. If I was, tell me about it, dude. If I had them abs, what are you talking about?
We got to take a muscle minute here and just discuss. You can see he's bulking up a little bit. He's getting strong.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, he takes off his shirt and goes to, I don't know, walk over the place that Merlin just mopped. Merlin starts insulting him about how he's never mopped anything in his life, and you know where this is going. He's gonna mop Merlin's face with mop water.
Just guys being dudes.
Just guys being dudes.
Yeah. Boy, this scene doesn't make you think anything else about these two men, does it?
Dude, like the first thing you do when you get in the room with your bro, take your shirt off. That's
take your
step
shirt
one.
Off.
Step two.
Yeah, yeah.
Douse him in water. Get him all wet.
Get him wet. Absolutely.
Step three, tell him to strip.
Yeah, yeah. Tell him, run himself a steam down a little bit. Get him feeling bad for himself.
Yep. No, but leave the scarf on.
We cut directly from Merlin having a bucket dumped on his head to Sir Leon, who is giving reports to Uther when a fresh to death Morgana. Dude, Morgana's serving looks throughout the rest of this episode. Sure, it is fucking crazy. She has multiple cloaks that I would just be like, yes, please. Like, whoever is in charge of Morgana's outfits, or who really everybody's, because everybody's looking good, but Morgana just looks especially great.
Because everybody else wears the same thing every single season.
Pretty much.
She's the one who gets to have wardrobe changes.
She's the only one that changes her.
I mean, Morgos sometimes gets to wear a gown. And then sometimes she wears like cool chainmail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But everybody else is just one outfit. Arthur with or without armor, and then that's it.
So she arrives in the throne room. Her and Uther see one another. They begin to run towards each other, and it's a very tearful reunion as they embrace, and both of them cry. And Morgana,
I don't like it, dude. I don't like it one bit.
Morgana once again plays the subservient here and tells Uther that she defied him, that she, you know, was rude to him. She says it wasn't the lean's fault. It was me relying on the lean.
It wasn't just the lean talking. Yeah. I've come to realize this now.
But from now on, she will show him the love and respect he deserves. Mm-hmm. And we kind of feel like maybe this is good. Like Uther is obviously feeling great about this. But as she turns to leaves, as she turns to leave, she doesn't actually turn into a pile of leaves. That would be something totally different. Yeah. She turns to leave. And as she faces the camera, she gives a little, like, an evil smile. So,
Yeah, dude, she's the evil smile. Like, God forbid anybody walk in and see that evil smile, because she's delivering an evil smile.
Does she, at this point, throughout the rest of the episode, she just waits till somebody, like, walks 5 feet away, and she's like, heh, 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 got him.
Yeah. And if Uther kept up with his Joker wisdom on Facebook, he would know that sometimes when you cross somebody, someone get rude and someone get quiet. And right now, mm-hmm. Morgana's in her someone get quiet
phase. Someone get quiet. That's true. We go to nightfall, where it's yet another full moon. It's always a full moon
in
Camelot.
And she goes, let me put on the most ostentatious purple cloak.
I need to sneak out of this castle, so I'm going to wear a bright purple cloak and just fucking baller outfit all together.
It glimmers in the moonlight. They actually do this thing. Well, okay, she looks very cool, especially when it's draped over the back of the horse. That's extra cool. But they are doing this thing in this scene, and they do it a lot in Merlin, where you can tell they filmed it during the day, and then they just put, like, the nighttime filter over it. So it doesn't look like it's ever actually night. Like, there's just straight up, like, sunlight coming in, but it's dark. But I weirdly really like that, because it gives Merlin this, like, strange fantasy feel, and I think it sometimes works in other shows as well. But I just really like it, even though I know the trick. It somehow, like, works for me.
It's good. It works really nice. And she goes into the forest. She finds a cave. It's guarded by men. There's torches. She enters the cave, and here is Morgoth. And Morgoth. We learn that all of this was a plan. When she hugged Uther as he was crying, she obtained his tears on a cloth, which Morgoth uses to toss into a cauldron filled with, for all of the world, just delicious-looking brownie mix. I want to put these babies, put this stuff in a pan and bake it up, baby. Like, this stuff looks good.
Yeah, it looks good, whatever it is. And she goes full, you know, double toil and trouble with the fucking cauldron here, with the same old, like, chanting in Latin, like, laba flaba, huba wubba, Uther Pendragon, naba deepa.
It's
that's a cross between Simlish and Jabba the
Hutt. Yeah, I know. I got it immediately. I knew exactly what you were doing right there. Don't worry.
Ooh, blah, blah, blah.
They toss in some mandrake root, and it looks all gross, and she picks it up, and it's all dripping and gross, and she hands that
to
Morgana.
One of the gnarliest, like, things you could put in a man's bedroom.
Yeah. And
it's this dripping, tar-covered mandrake root.
And we just immediately cut to from her handing it to Morgana to it hanging underneath the bed.
Dude,
of the
how'd
ether.
She get it in there?
Who
it's
cares?
Like, it's so wet.
There's a brief conversation between Uther and Gaius about Morgana's father, because I think Uther is saying how much she's inherited her father's,
she's super,
like,
strong, and
super,
she can, like,
her strength,
you know,
yeah,
bounce back from anything. And Gaius is like, she's just like her father. And Uther suddenly goes, indeed.
Meanwhile, Arthur is practicing combat in the only way that I know how to practice combat, which is to put a blindfold on and to use your sword to hit two men that are, like, subservient to you and will definitely not let you let you lose.
This guy, I don't know. But yeah, you could tell that they just let him win, because one guy's fighting with a flail, and it doesn't matter if it's a practice sword, practice flail, it's a piece of metal, hits you in the skull, you die. I think I complained about this back in season one. I can't get over how dangerous that fucking thing looks when it swings at little Arthur's head.
Did you ever try an experience with a flail as a young child, Gris? Is that the...
I most certainly must have, yeah. But I don't have any... You know I'm a sword guy,
Smashing skeletons in the backyard, someone hit you on the back of the head with a flail, now that's all you can think about?
Dude, in my battles against skeletons, there was some kids who like to play a little rougher than other kids, and they didn't know that. I'm like, no, pal, we're supposed to fight the skeletons. You're not supposed to break my fingers. I'm in third grade. I'm not a real swordsman. Would you relax?
Arthur, you know, wins this little practice round, comes over to, first off, he walks over to Merlin, and this is, again, guys being dudes, and he says, hey, what did you think? Like, he's trying to show off, and then when Merlin kind of roast him a little bit, and it's like, oh, I've seen better, he starts going like, oh, you're clearly the expert of combat, and then he starts, like, to actively, like, make fun of him and do, like, an impersonation. We're like, ooh, I'm Merlin, and I'm holding a sword, that kind of thing. And
at this point, it's like, it's not even mean. It's like you're just spending, you're giving so much personal, extra special attention to Merlin, and it's all I can think about.
Sirloin
and
is in the corner.
It's all you can talk about.
Sirloin is in the corner like, I used to be that guy. Like, why am I not that guy anymore? Like, I miss being that guy. I was that dude, and now it's Merlin all the time. That doesn't make any sense to
me. Plus, Leon's a little shell-shocked. He came back from the dragon attack. All of the other knights presumably scorched alive. He's the only one who lived, because again, we don't know what happened in that.
And he also,
Arthur and Merlin came back alone.
He also survived all of this like campaign to find Morgana and saw presumably hundreds of his compatriots die. So like
he's been hollowed out,
dude,
a little bit. Arthur is still very lighthearted about everything. He spends the whole fucking trip like flirting back and forth with Merlin and like talking shit to him or whatever. You know, Leon is in the back there, which each day is dim. His vision dims a little bit more.
They're gonna go.
He's no hope for this world.
In season four, they go into Leon's like cabin or whatever that's outside in the woods next to Camelot, where he kind of spends a lot of time. And it just looks like when they find that room in Seven with all of the journals, where it's just gonna be just a bunch of like tiny hand printed scrawl of like, the death of the kingdom is not far away, and I refuse to allow Merlin. Like it's just going to be like a giant demonic sayings all the way down.
They go out to his cabin and it's just like a divorced guy's like,
yeah, he's got a race car bed.
When he first got divorced, he like tried to like reclaim some of his individuality, get some of that boyhood back, and now it's 2 years later and there's just beer cans everywhere. Mm-hmm, and you go, oh, mm-hmm, man, place never really came together, huh, Leon?
Never really got it there. Merlin gets his own back because he uses a little bit of his magic to throw Arthur's sword out of his hand. So that
we're still here.
Arthur, we did it. We camped for a while.
I went on a journey to Leon's cabin in my mind.
And then Arthur gets like hit in the stomach by this mace and then takes a knee and lands in some conveniently placed mud. Like it's a whole fucking slapstick routine. It's very hilarious. Yeah. And then it's time for a feast. They're celebrating Morgana's return. Uther is giving a toast, saying that Morgana means more to him than she will ever know. She's acting completely touched, and he's got tears in her eyes. Uther is crying. He's also seems to be a bit drunk. He's a little wobbly on his feet, so he goes outside, and he starts to hear something. Is that Arthur, or is that Morgana? But no, it's something in the well, and as he heads into it, he looks down, and a hand reaches out and grabs him, and there's what is very obviously a dead woman just begging him, please, please, please. And then he...
Pretty spooky.
He starts screaming, terrified.
Yeah. Man's literally sobbing. He's, I mean, he's been sobbing since dinner, so that's nothing new. But, this is pretty wild. Totally different, like, vibe for Merlin, I feel like. Mm-hmm. We don't do, like, spooky ghosts in a well, like... It's the ring. It's
literally the ring. Yeah, and I dig it. Like they don't camp out on this for very long. Like they don't do the stop start animation of them running around or anything. They definitely could have. They could have gone like full ring, but instead it's just this like one image of her holding onto him and begging him.
And we only see her and then later other things from like his point of view. Like when the camera cuts back, there's no like other shot of the ghosts climbing out or standing around him or anything like that. We just see him collapse onto the stones, like screaming out, and then his guards come and find him. And this is a very unusual way for them to find Uther.
Yes. Just rolling around in his own piss. Just, oh no. This is he usually
absolutely just like just
soaked.
Well, like
soaked the whites.
1.1 seconds into the spooky encounter, that bladder was opened up like Niagara, dude. He'd be drinking, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
The geysers were gushing.
So they clean him up, they put him to bed, everybody is in the room with him, all of our cast. One by one
holding their noses, trying to pretend like they don't smell the piss. That's why they don't smell the big goopy effigy that's been tied to the bottom of the bed.
Everybody leaves except for Morgana, who is pretending to, you know, she's got Uther's hand in hers and pressed to her face, and as soon as everybody leaves, she just like drops his hand on him and leaves. Outside, Arthur is demanding to know what is happening from Gaius, who at first is like, oh, it's nothing, it's no big deal. And eventually he says that when I found him, he was, you know, he was chanting your mother's name, and which is very, very weird. And of course, this wigs Arthur out a little bit. He's never seen his father this week. That's going to play into the back half of this episode.
He doesn't ever bring up his mother.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
We jump back over to the cave where Morgana and Margos are making another, what is this? What is it? It's a something root. What is it? A milkwood root?
Mandrake
root. They make another one, and they are talking about convincing a different leader, Sinred, to invade Camelot while, Uther is weak.
Yeah.
Really surprised by Senred's whole vibe. We're not going to meet him yet, but he's compared to Uther, who's like an aging, stern war criminal, and then Senred's supposed to be like a hot guy who's in a goth band.
Yep, pretty much.
Very interesting vibes.
Morgana sneaks back into the castle in a bright red cloak, where she is almost immediately found by a knight patrolling the castle, who is like, "Oh, hey, you're just dripping goop out of your cloak." She's like, "No, yeah. I'm not. Absolutely.
Lady Morgana, you're looking a little goopy."
She's like, "Absolutely not. That is not goop. You don't see anything.
You don't see any goop, sir."
He pushes the issue, and she brings out a knife and then fucking shivs him and shoves him off the fucking parapet to the ground below.
My lady, with all due respect, I know goop when I see it.
Whoa, hold up. This is polite conversation, my lady. This is the first time we've obviously seen Morgana do some evil stuff. I think this is the first time that she, like, just intentionally takes a life that she didn't necessarily have to. Like, this is...
Sure, she kills a cop.
She kills a cop. Well, when you put it that way, Chris.
She sticks him with the knife, pushes him over the edge. Mm-hmm. She will not have her goop challenged. Dude, don't ask a lady about her goop. That's all I'm saying.
You shouldn't. You absolutely shouldn't.
I feel like I'm getting a little tangled up here. She straight up kills a guy.
Yep.
And then she goes to her room. Gwen shows up, only to get shooed away. That's all she gets to do with this episode, is be shooed away. And then we go to see Senred, Morgos, and just two guys ride out to his castle to meet him. And we get this whole, view of Winterfell or wherever the hell we're supposed to be in Senred's castle. They ride up through the courtyard, they go inside, and then we see Senred. And like I said, he's supposed to have hot guy energy. I don't personally think that Senred's got hot guy energy, but he's got the hair and the swords on his back. I'm like, okay, this guy's supposed to be cool.
Chris, this is literally the guy that plays Lucifer in the TV show Lucifer. This is Tom Ellis.
No way.
Yeah.
No
way. This is that dude.
But he's kind of hot as Lucifer. I don't think he's that hot as Senred.
So this dude he has
a straight man.
I think this dude has hot boy energy. I feel like he's a hot boy. Just like the 90s rap used to rap about. He's a hot boy.
All right. He does have two swords. That's something. Yeah. Anyway, Morgos comes in. She kind of gives him shit. She's like, "You're a coward. You didn't come meet me at the border." But anyway, you get to understand that they're almost sort of flirty with each other. They clearly know each other. They have a history. But it's time to talk about Uther. And Morgos fills Senred in. And again, we've heard about this dude for, the whole show. Every time they've talked about the enemy king, it's always Senred. Camelot is weak now, she says. It's ripe for the taking. So we gotta move. And Senred, he still is like, even with Uther out of the picture, Camelot, like the fortress itself, is still impregnable. Like, we're not gonna be able to get in there. This is their Helm's Deep, he says. And she goes, I don't understand.
I don't get that reference. Yeah. Can you just not explain it to me and just invade this other kingdom for me? That's what I would really prefer.
Please,
you
just,
to do
I don't
that.
Want an explanation. I just want you to do this.
Yeah, just do the thing. I do want to mention this. You mentioned this earlier, but this is the first time we see Morgos all armored up in this episode, and she looks fucking dope. There's several scenes of her like slow-mo getting off of a horse where she just looks fucking cool, and like, man,
hotness increases by at least 10% when you put
them
in armor.
We need more women with swords and more women with armor, because yes, we do.
I'm waiting for Merlin to get some armor, dude. I don't think it's gonna happen, but I'm waiting for it.
The things that Merlin does as he in future episodes is the thing that he does, the very specific thing that he does, is fucking fantastic and great that I cannot wait to get to it, because it literally it made me cackle out loud when I first saw it. I was so happy about it. So I can't.
They don't. Not only do they commit to doing it once, but they do it several times.
Single time. Yeah. Oh my god. And then it becomes like a thing with one of the characters. Oh, it's so fucking good. Anyway, they do all of this stuff. They have this conversation.
Yeah, she tells him that, hey, I got an insider. I got a spy in the midst
We go back to Arthur, who is reporting to Uther that, hey, like, we've heard that Sinred is gathering an army. We've seen him take in a bunch of mercenaries. But unfortunately, Uther is having another attack. And this is an extended scene of him slowly seeing the ghost of a small child drenched in water, dripping on the floor that nobody else
can
see.
Very spooky, very season two supernatural.
And again, like, the restraint is really impressive here, because they don't make the kid, like, go do all of, like, the flickering ghost stuff. It's just, it's very clear that Uther can see him. Nobody else can. Everybody else is reacting to Uther kind of freaking out. And Uther is slowly but surely, like, losing control of himself. Like, he starts screaming, "Leave me alone. Get out of here." Eventually, Sirloin and I think Gaius and Arthur, like, grab Uther and, like, usher him out of the room, because, of course, they don't want the court to see that their king is a fucking nutso. And then we crash cut to Gaius and Merlin, and Merlin asking, like, "Hey, that was weird." And Gaius telling Merlin that back in the day, back in the Purge, Uther would just drown children that were born of magic users, that had never used magic. He would just drown innocent children in wells just to get rid of the magic people. Yeah. And this, we complain about this, how the show goes over the top on Uther's wrongdoings to the point where you sympathize with Morgana, where you're like, you kind of feel like she's maybe in the right when she's doing all of this stuff. And, like, why is Merlin enabling a child murderer? Like, you really have to, like, why is my hero enabling a child murderer to be on the fucking throne of Camelot? Like, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. This is just so fucking horrifying. Like, I feel like they thought that this would be, like, a throwaway thing, and that I'm taking it a lot more seriously than it is, but Jesus fucking Christ.
It can't be a throwaway thing when they show us the dead child.
That's true, yeah.
They showed the water dripping off this little boy's hands.
Did you have the reaction I did to this? Like, were you like, "Oh my God, this is fucking horrible"?
That makes sense. I actually, weirdly, because I hadn't before guys told us this, I was like, did he have, like, another child? Did his wife have another child? Is this just specifically tied to her? Cause that's who I thought the first person was. I think it was, right? What? No. He was calling her name. I got confused. Yeah. Anyway, but after the fact, when Gaius was like, "No, it was just it was genocide. That included the kids too." I go, "Oh right, no, of course,
It does.
Yeah, no,
of
totally,
course,
totally,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah, makes sense from what I know of Uther. That makes perfect sense. Yes, absolutely.
No, totally.
Gaius is not worried about being a party to fucking child homicide.
Anyway, forget the genocide, Merlin. We have other things to deal with. Have you swept the lab yet?
Have you cleaned my eel tank, Merlin? I don't see any eels on you, which means that my eel tank is dirty. Just then, the alarm bell sounds, and the guard that Morgana killed was found. And we go through a quick number of scenes to the point where Gaius is back in the throne room, handing over the knife that was used to kill him to Arthur, and says that it has the sigil of the blood god, which is traditionally the one that protects, like, the women of the forest or whatever, like, whatever Morgos and Morgana are from. So Gaius believes that there's a traitor in their midst, and then reveals something shocking, that the sentry, the guy that was stabbed and thrown off the parapet, is alive. Goop Boy has survived the fall.
I love a good "wait, but they're alive" but twist. It's always fun. They don't linger on it though, because Morgana's like, "Oh, he's alive. Give me 1 second, please."
Yeah, I gotta. I just gotta go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back.
She just immediately, like, she starts bugging. She scoots off to the lab, finds the wounded sentry, finds a bottle of poison. I don't think it's the same one that was used against her, but it's a bottle of poison. And then we just see her sneaking off. And when Merlin and Guy, it's just like that, like, boom, she kills him. And then Merlin and Guy arrive home a little while later, and they find the man dead. I am always a little bit, this is not important, but I'm always a little bit confused about the layout, because it makes it seem like they're in a corridor of the castle, and then they open the door and they arrive at the lab. But I always thought that the lab was, like, outside the castle. Like,
I've always assumed I had to go to a courthouse this week to do, like, file some paperwork for my job, which is a really weird thing. And they told me to go to the clerk of court's office, and, like, I walk in. Number one, they made me take off my belt, which I thought was, like, who is attacking the courthouse? Right,
well,
but whatever.
Just so you know, the pants are coming.
This is going to be a tricky situation if I have to also hold that bin and go through the metal detector. I'm just saying. But I had a problem finding the clerk of court's office, and it was because it was in the basement. And I don't traditionally look for stuff in basements because we don't have basements down here. And I feel like the lab... No, because we see it can't be a basement because we see like sunlight streaming through the windows. So you're right. I have no idea where the lab is in relation to the castle. Who knows?
It's probably in the basement. I don't know. At one time, I had to go to a courthouse too, other than jury duty, was also in a basement. I had to wait to get up about a ticket I was given because I hit a patch of ice and crashed my fucking car.
Oh, no.
And then they were like, a cop tried to break my window open violently because he said you were trying to flee the scene. I was like, brother, I was not trying to flee the scene.
I'm not trying to go nowhere. I'm just trying to get off, trying to get off this ride.
I just called my dad to come pick me up.
I'm in the middle of the street, homie. This is just dangerous.
I had to go to court over it. I got off scot-free, just in case anyone's curious. But it was in a basement. Anyway,
where are we in this whole situation?
I have no idea. I know that we're about to get back to that goopy effigy.
Yes. Morgana goes to the lab. She sees that the dude is alive. She quickly finds the poison. She
kills his ass.
Gaius and Merlin come home and are like, whoops. That guy's dead. We probably should have left a guard. Sorry, nameless guard.
Yeah. Jeez.
For
some reason, Merlin goes to... This is where that's why we got confused, because it's so out of character that Merlin goes to tuck Uther in that night.
He's bringing him a potion. Like, he's got, like, a little bottle with him, so Gaius sent him up there. He didn't just go visit... Did you really think that Merlin just went to go, like...
I just thought, what's he doing? Like, I figured, okay, he's going to investigate, but like, what's the pretense?
Gotta do some tuckies. Some kingy tuckies.
Like, he goes to the guards at the door, and he's just like, oh, they sent me to tuck him in.
I need to go in there and just make sure that his shoulders are warm.
And then he's the only one who notices this fucking big goopy mess under the bed where this mandrake effigy has been tied, and it's just like, it's so goopy, dude. Like, goopy's the only word.
It's so bad,
blotchy,
goopy. It's so
thick,
gross
black liquid dripping off of this, and it's every time it hits the ground, it's like,
and
it's just this gross sound.
As he notices it, he like gets down on the floor and sees it under the bed. And just then Morgana kind of strolls in. So he very quickly hides under the bed from whoever it is. He doesn't see her yet. And she just kind of blindly reaches under, grabs it, and marches out as he like spies from underneath the bed. And as she's starting to leave the castle, presumably to get more goop, he follows her. And there's the next...
She's got to go get gooped up. Yeah.
It's wild to me that Merlin manages to cram so much as it does in 45 minutes because, again, like, this is an extended, like, I'm following you scene, right? Like, you talked about the night filter, and like, this is a lengthy, like, I'm, you know, she's looking back and I'm hiding around the corner.
It's a whole stealth sequence.
It's a whole stealth sequence. And he follows her out to the woods where she meets Morgose.
More medieval Metal Gear music.
She tells Morgose says, like, Sinred's coming. Merlin gets a little closer so he can listen. And then Morgana is like, hey, everything is going super good, but Merlin suspects me. Morgana is like, well, what do we need to do deal with him? And Morgana is just like, nothing, because he's here. And I was like, got him. Fucking twist, dude. This is great.
And everybody's like, come on out, Merlin. Hey,
come on down.
All the people in her band start clapping. He's like,
what the fuck is going on? Merlin is very quickly, he tries to run away, but he's very quickly captured.
Still won't use his magic.
Of course not. Yeah. Everybody, I mean, it's weird who he will and won't use his magic in front of, but because this seems like a definite magic situation to me, but what do I know?
It seems like, okay, you've been caught by two magicians, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
The better term is sorceress, but magicians, because it's degrading, and you still won't use your magic, bro? Like, now's the time. Lancelot can see your magic, but the magicians can't.
Exactly. We cut over to Arthur, where he is trying to get a handle on the kingdom now that Uther is too sick to leave his bed. When Gaius shows up and is encouraging Arthur to basically take on the role as the regent king.
We need a leader right now. The council is a little bit worried about Uther. And Arthur doesn't take this well. You know, he's shaken by seeing his father in this way. For all of Uther's faults and all of Arthur's faults, you know, this is still his father, and he can't help but be extremely affected by this. And he's like, I'm not going to usurp my father. I'm not going to just like give up on him and assume that he's dead. And you know, I'm not doing that. So he will get better and we're going to have to wait and see.
And he goes so far as to accuse Gaius of being a traitor, like, or treason, yeah. because Gaius talked to the small council about it. He talked to the court about it. And you know, this is one of those narrative things where like, Arthur, like, you can just lead the kingdom. Like, you can just, if he gets better, you can give it back. Like, what do you do? Why?
That's exactly what, like, they just need, like, your help right now.
Yeah. Like, this is a temporary role. Like, you can put King Pro Tem if you want to at the end of this. Like, it's no big deal. Meanwhile, Merlin wakes up in some cool-looking chains and is put in front of Morgos, who is questioning why Merlin keeps interfering with her plans. Like, why is this servant boy willing to put his life on the line for Camelot and for King Arthur, or for King Uther? Merlin insists that he believes that Arthur will provide a fair and just world, and she is like, yeah, that's 100% not true. Like, what's the real thing? And eventually,
yeah.
Like,
and she's like, yeah, what, you're gonna be the servant to the guy who's king? Do you think that's gonna make you special?
And he just no. And he refuses to answer, and she's like, okay, well, I'm bored of this, so let me magic up your chains so you can't break them, and then we're just going to leave you here. And I thought as I was watching this, because I didn't remember any of the details from my first time through, I was like, man, it really frustrates me when villains do like the, I'm going to kill you, and they chain them up and just like leave them to die from exposure or whatever. I'm like, just fucking stab the dude if you want him to die. But what actually happens is, I guess the spell that she casts, it summons a bunch of giant magical scorpions to come sting him to death. And that is fucking rad. That is so good.
Was so surprised. We see him there, and you know, we cut back and forth to a couple of different things, but Merlin is chained up in the woods, and you think, what's gonna happen? How's he gonna escape? Was he just gonna be left to die of exposure? And then we just hear some rustling from far away, and then the scene will cut away, and then it'll cut back, and the rustling goes a little bit closer, and then finally we see the pincers appear, and I'm like, oh my god, are these magic snakes? No. It's the magic scorpions that we encountered in the previous season.
It's fucking hilarious, dude. These things are great.
Merlin is beset by dozens of gigantic scorpions.
I love it. Team Scorps all the way. I am so ready for this. We get some shots of Arthur moping, Morgana trying to comfort him. She promises to look after Arthur in this time of need. Merlin is desperately trying to use magic to break away these chains, in between using magic to like push away the scorpions, but it's not being very effective. Like, he's not doing anything. So finally, he gets stung, it looks like, by one of them, and he like slings it against a tree, and realizing that he's in his last moments of desperation, he looks up and we hear him use the dragon voice. We hear him call out, and somebody in our Discord, Auntie L in our Discord, translated this for us. She also translated the dragon speech from the season 2 finale, which I thought was pretty cool.
I didn't know dragon speech was a real language.
Apparently it's Greek. not even lying, like it's just old Greek. In the season finale, he says, "Oh dragon, I command you to stop this reign of terror. You have caused enough pain and suffering to these people. You must obey me and follow my will, for I have you under my power. You shall no longer bring death and destruction to this land."
That's dope.
Here he says, "Oh dragon, now indeed I utter to you commands out of necessity," which isn't quite
you know, a little less epic. A little less epic.
It sounds
still
a lot better in old Greek. So
I wasn't expecting him to cash that check one episode later. Because the dragon was like,
either.
"I owe you one, man."
He's like, "Yep, I'll be back."
It's been a year in their timeline, and maybe.
Yeah, I guess that is the case. But. Yeah, I forget that we did jump a bunch of time. So after he calls the dragon, he falls to the ground. We see Cinred marching with what looked like, in the terms of scale that Merlin has shown us so far, this is might as well be 3 million soldiers. We've never seen this many people on the fucking screen at one time before, Chris. It's fucking crazy.
It's crazy. This is like the battle of five armies or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
man. This is so many people here. Morgoth is watching through his crystal, while he marches on Camelot. And then we cut back over to Merlin. where we see the dragon just in the nick of time fly down, roast all the scorpion. It's scorpion meat for dinner, everybody.
Yeah, dude.
And then he picks up Merlin and flies away with him in some kind of sketchy looking CGI, but it's okay.
It's
who
a little
cares?
Sketchy, but yeah. Hey,
it's still fun.
It's cool.
And you know, you're thinking to yourself, oh, but that doesn't seem like the end of an episode. But you forgot at the very beginning, I said it's part one, so you're gonna have to wait till next week to get the. Find out.
Last time
what
we got
happens.
A two-parter, it was the troll marriage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I bet there's going to be less farting in the Tears of Uther Pendragon and Part 2. I just think so. I don't know why.
As much as there was a hell of a lot going on in this episode, this felt better as an episode of a TV show, because as much as the Monster of the Week format that Merlin usually plays with, of course, building slightly over time, as much as that's fun, it is also really cool, and it helps the pacing when you feel like there's going to be more that happens later. And so, like, not every problem has been resolved here, and it's going to lead into the next episode, which, you know, plenty of TV shows do. And it's cool to finally see Merlin doing a little bit of that. And I know we're going to go back to the more episodic stuff, but it's still it changed the pacing of this a little bit. And I'm excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, it's I feel like I've talked about this a bunch. We've talked about the budget getting expanded over time. I think season 4 for me is where, in my mind, where that kicks off. I'll be curious if that starts sneaking up in season 3 a little earlier, because this already feels like it's obviously they've got 2 seasons under their belts. Like, they know what they're doing. They've got the storyline that they want to go through. So it's very cool. And I just absolutely can't wait to get to some of the meat of this thing, because I feel like there's so much good stuff from Merlin left. And
yeah.
Oh man, I just can't wait to get there. It's going to be so much fun. What a great episode. I mean, like, it just juggles so many balls in the air at one time, and then it has like the weird Merlin Arthur stuff. It's so,
because they were just, you know, I honestly, it does start to feel like they're pivoting. You know, they are moving towards a more serious fantasy show, but they don't want to completely drop what they have been, especially if they are going to shift back later this season to the more standard fare of Merlin, right? You come back after a year of not being on the air, or longer, I don't know how long they're off the air, and you go right into it. Great season opener, but they got to put that Merlin Arthur stuff in there just to remind you, like, hey, no, we're still the same show. We're still, you know, the things you love about it are still here, except for Gwen. She doesn't get to do anything in this episode. But you know, We're moving in a different direction, but what you love is still here. There we go.
I tell you, Chris, the air date of the season 2 finale was December 19th, 2009, and this was September 11th, 2010. So that's a solid, like, 9 months of,
yeah,
presumably, you know, filming and production and things like that, which is, in my mind, I'm like, that's a long time. But also, there's been such huge gaps in TV shows lately that my mind is broken, I guess. Anyway. Thank you all for listening. I apologize for what's about to happen in the outtakes. I just want to say that in advance. I'm gonna.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I was being a real hater. So that,
oh no,
it,
no,
it
no, no,
to
no,
be a huge hater.
No, Chris. Oh, that was a funny bit. What I did while I was waiting on you is borderlines on criminal. No one's gonna like it, and it's gonna get us some feedback, I think. So just apologize ahead of time. Sorry about that.
Put it after the credits. Play the ending music, and then sneak it in.
It's gonna slap it in there, so I don't have to do a lot of editing. So it's gonna be a fun time.
Treat it like a bonus track.
Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for people leaving reviews and reaching out to us on various social media platforms. We know that it's hard to watch along with this, because this is the point where Merlin starts getting really good, and you got to see those part twos. But we understand. We forgive you your trespasses as you download us. That's that saying from the Bible, right? We forgive you your trespasses as you download us. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you to all the people over at patreon.com/monsterofthe week that are continuing to support the show. We'll be back next week with The Tears of Uther Pendragon, Part 2. Did we join the cut at the same time?
Yeah, we.
Oh, wow. Are you on your bad Wi-Fi? Oh no.
And then can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, there's Robot Chris. There's T-Pain Chris. Oh. Listeners, I'm going to leave, because Chris is recording now, but I'm going to leave the audio that I'm capturing directly from the Discord so you can hear what I hear when this happens. Just Chris just roboting out. Oh, Chris is gone. I will try to disconnect and reboot the disco. Gonna reboot the disco. In a minute, I'm gonna need a woman about me. I'm gonna be not a minute, I'm gonna be not a pump pump. Can you hear me now? Christopher Mosier. Hey, Chris. Hello, Chris. Is Chris there? Chris, it's me. It's Child Jeremy. Hey, Chris, I just need you to teach me the ways of the world. Chris, how do I buy cigarettes when I'm 12 years old? Chris, how do I get the man at the Circle K to give me a cigarette? I would like to know. Because I'm Child Jeremy. And this is probably not ever going to be heard by anybody. Because I'm mortified about the way it's going to sound after I get finished recording. But hey, Chris, I like your anime figs. Why do all of the women have the big chest, though? Is that a thing that you like? Or is that just a thing that is that how they come? I don't know. I'm Child Jeremy. Chris, you sure do have a lot of swords in this room. Are these real swords? Could you fight a man? Have you ever fought a man, Chris? I don't know if I believe that you've ever fought a man before with a sword. I mean, I'll believe you if you tell me because I am Child Jeremy. Just improvising all this stuff by myself is really hard, Chris. So if you could come back to the Discord and maybe fix your stuff so we could talk about Merlin and I could tell you a funny story about my dad and Supernatural and the outtakes and, you know, just do the normal kind of stuff. Got some funny stories. But you're not even in the thing right now, Chris. Where'd you go, Chris? Chris, come back. Chris, come back to me, Chris. Hey, Chris. Chris, you're not even texting me, man. What's going on? Is it my fault? I don't think it's my fault. I can see stuff. Like Discord seems like it's working for me, my man. Everything. Oh God, this voice is getting my dogs all hepped up for some reason. Now they want to come and hang out with me. That's not cool. Yeah, my Discord's working fine for me, Chris. I'm a little bit worried. I'm kind of transitioning into a South Park voice right now, but I'm not going to say anything like racist or dumb, so I think I'm okay. Chris, can I use your sword to chop down a tree in my yard? That'd be pretty fun, Chris. Chris, tell me how do you pronounce Worcester? I don't know. It's kind of like Massachusetts. I have a hard time with those words with a lot of syllables. If you could just come back, that'd be. I wonder if you could hear me. I wonder if you have just given up at this point. Because I've been recording like this for like 5 minutes. This is about the extent of my improv ability, Chris. Chris, I'm... Oh, he texted me. I worked in here with no issues earlier today. I don't know, Chris. It's the afternoon Wi-Fi problems. Sometimes just the internet just kind of hates you, my man. What's up? What are you going to do next, Chris? Is there a manga we could read about it? That'd be pretty cool. Never quite got used to reading manga, like kind of, you know, backwards from Western comics. That was a real hard time. And then I was reading some mature material that I probably shouldn't be reading because I'm child. about Jeremy. And there were boobs in Berserk, Chris. I don't know if you know that or not. Not just man boobs either, just actual women's boobs. It was a very shocking experience for child Jeremy. Fuck, I can't keep that up. That was... Whew. My dogs were really losing it at that. That's very funny. They were thinking that was directed at them. And I don't even talk to my dogs that way. I've never think I've ever talked that way in my entire life. I wonder if I should read some more Star Wars poetry. Do we have anything like that? Oh, you know what? You guys, I saw something today that was horrible that I would like to just read you. I'm not going to make you listen to the music, but I'll read you the lyrics. So, wow, I didn't see the update to this. This is very hilarious. So Space Force, the ill-named space organization that America has created, released a theme song. Oh, hey.
Oh, this is so fucking annoying.
I was just about to read everybody the lyrics to the Space Force theme, but now everyone's...
I heard like a half clip of that earlier.
It's just fucking awful. Cringy as hell.
Awful.
Did you see the official response when it got, like, you know, dunked online?
No.
They replied, "It's not a banger."
Fair enough. But yeah, I think it was when Mike Eagle was like, "Why does it sound like this from like 1750?" Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't have to. It could still sound like...
It could sound like a modern song. Like, it doesn't have to.
It could sound like a modern military song. Like, I'm pretty sure like kids in high school who do band could like show you something better than this.
We're the mighty watchful eye, guardians beyond the blue, the invisible front line, warfighters, brave and true, boldly reaching into space, there's no limit to our sky, standing guard both night and day, we're the space force from on high.
Mm-hmm. Virginity is a requirement to join.
Yeah. Yes, you have to prove that you have never...
Listen. I'm in like an unfathomably bad mood, so I think the only way for me to get out of it is for me to be a hater.
Okay.
On today's episode.
You're gonna hate. This is a really good episode to be a hater about. Are you sure you wanna go?
No,
that
not
way?
To Merlin, just to like.
Oh, just don't.
You know,
just
like you meet when you meet a hater, and they're like, you're like, wow, I don't like that guy's toxic. I don't want him in my crew.
All right.
That's me today.
Let's get some of the vitriol out. I'm gonna give you a thing and you can hate on it as much as you want to. Are you ready?
Yeah. When people talk about, oh, this one's for my haters, what they're talking about me. Yeah.
So the first thing I want you to hate on, and if you don't actually hate on these things, you can just say pass and we'll move on. Mm-hmm. And then I'll know that you love it and I'll make fun of you for that. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with Ford Malibus.
Ford Malibus, available all across the country. That's dumb. Call it a Ford America, not a Ford Malibu. Next question.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize we were going to go that fast. Guys that smoke too much weed.
Come on, you burnouts. Do something with your life. As if I have room to talk. But I'm a hater on this.
You're
one.
A hater.
I'm
a hater. Absolutely.
I'm a hater. What are you so chilled out for, man? Like... This shit to hate on. This shit to be mad about. Why are you so relaxed over there? I don't like it. Pass.
Spoken word poetry.
Dude, I didn't know that I hated spoken word poetry until I went to like a slam poetry thing in college. And my senior year of college, I made some really good friends in the English department. You know, we'd all been in the small department at the college, so that we became tight-knit. All these different types of people. By that last year, we'd had so many classes together. We'd been through thick and thin. We became tight-knit, and everybody was like, let's go to the slam poetry thing. And I was like, I'm like feeling it. Like, I'm having like the liberal arts college experience right now. And I went in there, and kids started doing their fucking slam poetry, and they were doing this... And dude, it made me sick to my stomach. I was so fucking mad.
Okay.
I'm a hater, dude. I'm a hater to my core. Save that for the theater department, all right?
Over-the-counter medicine that you have to give your ID for.
Dude, I'm not... Like, I'll die rather than take that.
Okay.
Put it on the shelf where I can get it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to self-checkout. Mm-hmm. And if not, I'll die.
Off-brand soda.
Dude, I feel like I get rock gut just thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like, just spend the extra 99 cents or whatever it is, you know? Don't, you know, it's going to rot your gut either way, but one's quicker than the other. So maybe this is more efficient.
Men.
Get me away from them, dude. I'm one right now, and I'm feeling all these man feelings, and I don't like any of them.
Guys who host a podcast that pretend to have a little child voice when their co-host is having a problem with their connectivity.
Dude, that's freaky, man.
I mean, it's weirdly specific, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
I think I know what you're talking about. It's a little freaky. It feels like this is a series that you and I have been working on. Just a little like behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. A written comic book series called Young Joker.
Yes.
The Young Joker.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does a sort of like a little baby voice.
Yeah, when little baby Joker.
Yeah, little baby Joker, the Young Joker. It's like Young Sheldon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very similar.
We're pitching it to Warner Brothers.
It's actually played by the guy, the little kid that plays Young Sheldon, so that's going to be a pretty exciting moment.
Cool, it's a cool crossover, I think.
He's a method actor, you know, that kid, that little baby kid that I am sure absolutely exists.
He became a real nerd for that.
I've never seen a single whole episode of Big Bang Theory, so I would never ever watch Young Sheldon. Like, the whole idea, it really just repulses me. But I will tell you, our fellow Discord friend Nissa turned me on to The Flight Attendant on HBO Max that stars.
Yeah, does that also star Young Sheldon?
No, it stars Kaylee Cuoco. I don't know her. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. But it's the chick from Big Bang Theory, and she's great. She's fantastic in this show. Like, amazing.
Which one? Is she the one who's like a legitimate like genius, or is she?
I've never seen the episode.
No,
I don't know.
There's two women on Big Bang. Uh-huh. There's the genius. And I hate to be reductive like this. There's the genius and there's the blonde one. Yeah. I don't know their names.
She's the blonde one. Yeah, she's the blonde one.
Okay.
I don't even have to know about the other chick to know it's the blonde one.
Yeah, the other chick I think was like, it's like a something crazy, like MIT scientist or something. I don't know. See, I don't know a lot about Big Bang Theory other than there's a real genius on there.
And Bazinga.
And Bazinga.
Bazinga.
And they make more money than God.
Yeah, they make a significant amount of money. It's weird that sitcoms become so popular, like they get that huge. Mm. Like, it just happens. I don't know. It's just
it's
sort of strange.
We forget, you know, we think of our niches of stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, our Twitter circle has like a certain specific view of Supernatural, right? And then we forget that there's like the just thousands or millions, literally millions of people who just like have the TV on all day in the background or whatever, and this is it. There's no discourse on Twitter. They don't like put thought into things. They're just there. 2.5 Men is the best show of all time because the funny man make me go ha ha, and that's it.
Can I tell you a recent Supernatural experience I had?
I had
some downtime with my dad, which is always an interesting thing. Like, we were just sitting in his house, just me and him. He was like, hey, can you go ahead and sign me into your Disney Plus account? Like, that kind of stuff. Like, there was nothing going on. Like, we had nothing to do. And so here comes the questions. Are you still doing the podcasting thing? Oh, yeah, still doing the podcasting thing. You know, do you make any money off of that? And I'm like, yeah, we have a Patreon set up. And, I'm associated with a different thing. So, yeah, I bring some money in. Nothing, like, hugely consequential. But, you know, we really appreciate the people pay us and all that
but
stuff.
But you got to, like, talk around it because it's your dad. So you got to make it seem like you're impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you know, it's beer and video game money, and I spend a lot of it.
Don't want to oversell it, but you also don't want to undersell it.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, you know, I spend a lot of it on commissioning like art and music for the podcast. And he's like, what do you mean you commission music? And I'm like, well, like, we're doing a Merlin show, and we commissioned a song we just did a cover of Jolene. And he's like, well, I want to listen to it. Can I do it? Can I get it on Spotify? And I was like, no, it's very legal. The things that we were doing, the fact that we could even get away with this on YouTube is kind of blowing my mind. It's just flying under that radar. But he was like, well, show me the video you did. Cause I had mentioned I did a video for it. I'm like, okay, cool. So we loaded up YouTube. And surprisingly, he was like, well, this is very cool. And I'm like, yeah, we also did Torn and November Rain and Careless Whisper. And he's like, well, you got to show me Careless Whisper. And I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, you got a sax guy? And I'm like, I don't have a sax guy, but my buddy Dylan had a sax guy, and he fucking nailed it. So I put on Careless Whisper, which Berlin people may or may not know this for Monster of the Week, but we did it. We called it Careless Hunters. And it was basically a video about... Castiel getting kind of having a troublesome relationship with Dean, and Sam having a troubling relationship with Rowena. And it's like a 5-minute song. So he's like watching all of this stuff. And then he wants to see the next one. And then the next one, he says, "Hey, pause it." And I said, "Well, pause it." He goes, is this a British show? And I said, "No." And I'm thinking, like, what in the world? And this is all like clips up from Supernatural, right? Like, this is all clips from the show. Like, at this point, I've seen him Hunks of Summer. So he's seen anything from season 1 to season like 14, right? He's seen everything. Mm-hmm. He goes, "Okay, keep playing. And then, like, at one point during one of the songs, he looks at me and goes, "Man, these guys sure do hug a lot." And I'm like, yeah, they do. They do hug a lot. And he goes, "Okay, pause it. Who's that guy?" And I'm like, "Well, that's Dean. He's the older brother." And he goes, "Okay, and the other guy?" And I'm like, "That's Sam. That's the younger brother." "Who's that guy?" And I said, "That's an angel from the Lord, Castiel." Which, out of context, sounds totally dumb. Like, it just has no... Pause it again. "Who's that?" "That's Rowena." "Who is she?" "She's a witch that's like 300 years old. Also, like, kind of the queen of hell or something." And then he says, "You know, I haven't really been public about this, but my dad is going through a procedure soon, so he's going to be stuck in a hospital for like 2.5 months. And so he's gathering stuff to watch on and read and just kill time with." So he says, like, "Man, I might have to watch this show. This, I don't think I've ever heard of it." And I like look over, and just to the right of his TV is his like stack of Blu-rays, which is all like Father's Day presents, and then the Supernatural season 1 Blu-ray that I gave him, that I let him borrow specifically to try to get him in the show. And I'm like, "Dad, you have it right there." And he's like, oh, I forgot about that. Christ.
Oh, man. Huge dad energy.
Yeah, huge dad energy. And so he's like, "Well, I'm going to watch this. It's on Netflix." And I'm like, "Yep." And I was like, "Yep, it's a." And then he started asking me, like, "What's the premise of the show?" And I was like, "Oh, it's two dudes and they hunt different monsters every week." And he's like, "So it's like a monster of the week." And I'm like, I don't think he intended the joke. I think he was just literally asking. Like, I don't know throughout the whole thing. I don't know that he ever clocked that was the name of the podcast. So anyway.
It just... incredible dad encounter right there, if you ask me. My dad has often asked me to, because he did watch Supernatural. He doesn't know what Merlin is. He's asked me about 100 times, "What's the show you're doing?" "Merlin, Dad." Like, you know, like King Arthur, you know who Merlin is. There's a TV show about him.
Yeah.
"Oh, yeah. I think I've seen that." "No, you haven't."
"No, you haven't."
Absolutely has not. But, he has many times been like, "What's the," he'll be, like, I'll see his Facebook is open. We'll be out at a restaurant, and he'll have his phone up on Facebook, and he goes, "Oh, so what's the name of your podcast?" I'm like, "I don't know what you're about to post on Facebook right now, but I'm not..."
Absolutely do not. Yeah.
I am not telling you.
Absolutely not. No.
Because one of their, you know, one of my parents' friends will probably listen to it, and then they'll be like, "What?
What is the this?" Fuck? Yeah,
and it'll get back to my parents.
It's not nothing good comes from the outtakes of any of these podcasts, though. And I don't think anybody would listen that far. I think that anybody who doesn't genuinely like Merlin or Supernatural would just be like, "Wow, these guys are just making jokes and telling me what happens on a TV show. Why am I listening to this? Yeah, I could just watch the TV show and make my own jokes."
Right? Hey, that's true. That is true. My Jess's brother listened to an episode, and he told me, and he was like, "Not to be weird, but I listen to one of your podcasts." And he was like, "I'm probably not going to listen anymore." I was like, "That's all
right. That's totally fine. That's cool." Yeah.
He was like, "It's cool that you do that." But I was like, "It's all good.
Watch
Supernatural. You have no reason to listen to it. I appreciate you checking it out, I guess."
There's a bunch of jobs out there, I think. Not that this is a job, but I mean, you know, it's not a job for you and I, right? Like, but there's a bunch of different things that people do that I think people want to be excited about you doing. Like, "Oh, it's cool that you run a marathon." But like, if I was running marathons and I was like, "Hey, Chris, come to my marathon," he'd be like, "Nah, I'm good." And it's cool that you do that, but I don't really want to participate.
Yeah. If you're not like deep on Twitter, and you hear somebody does a podcast, you're like, "Oh, that's kind of like a novelty thing." Mm-hmm. "That's interesting. I'm interested in that." We definitely got that a lot when we started our video game podcast back in the day, because it was like, you know, all of us were friends from real life, from high school. Mm-hmm. So other people would find out about it and be like, "Wait, those guys have a podcast? What? That's crazy." And you listen to it, and you'd be like, "It's not crazy."
Yeah, it's not crazy. It's literally why we didn't
session of us hanging out.
It's literally why we didn't sit with them in the lunchroom at the cafeteria.
Like, "Wait, you guys have people from England who listen to your podcast?" Like, yes, four of them.
That four of them, and they're all very friendly with one another, and we all know each other.
Although that was the funniest part of when we first started doing it, and even now, or at the beginning of Supernatural or Monster of the Week, rather, finding out people like, oh, somebody from Germany just messaged us. Oh, we just heard from somebody in this country or this country. And realizing that, like, oh, this is so far beyond, like, us. I mean, you and I are on, like, opposite ends of the country. It's that stuff used to really blow my mind.
It still does. Like, we got an email from a lady in Germany who just said, like, hey, found your podcast, really love it, it's so good, it's so fun, et cetera. And I'm just like, it was the same day we got the bad review for Monster of the Week, which is not even a real bad review.
They were still rather complimentary.
great podcast, show, great podcast.
But enough with the extreme politics. Yeah. Well, all right, we disagree, but thank you for the compliment.
The best worst comments I got from that, because I made a little TikTok video on the Monster of the Week account, and the best and worst comments were like, I don't think he knows what extreme political views are. And I'm like, I know, like, we're not even, we're just literally like just the most like baseline liberal. Like, we're not extreme at all. We're not cumtown or anything. Like, we're not weirdos about this stuff. Anyway, I don't know what I was saying, but
anyway, I'm a hater. That's, can we circle back to that?
Oh yeah. What about one star podcast reviews?
Dude, one star podcast reviews are okay if they're a little bit complimentary, mm-hmm. but it keeps me awake at night. The really, really flattering, nice through and through review that we have, that's like, this podcast makes me laugh so much. It's nothing but compliments all the way through. One star. Dude, what happened?
Yeah. We do have.
Did you hand slip? How did it end up like this?
I think their name is Cheryl. I think I've made the joke several times. Like, Cheryl, come back and update these stars,
come
girl.
Back, please. Please. If you hate us, then you got to update the review a little bit.
Let's talk about Merlin, because I actually did like a solid 7 minutes of a bit while you were having connective problems. So we have 25 minutes.
While I was slamming shit, did you hear that?
I heard nothing. No.
Oh, I was so mad. I threw my water bottle on the floor. And I felt a lot better, actually.
You geek.
So, violence is the answer.
Violence is the only answer.
Merlin, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't tip my cane. Merlin, 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 is it Morgana, your type of thing? Your magic is beyond compare, with big old ears and bone cut hair, with ivory skin and eyes of golden gleam. You flirt with him with no shame, you roast him like a summer flame, and he won't look away from you, Merlin. The dragon calls you when you're asleep, and it's all you can do to keep your secret when he catches you, Merlin. But keep your magic off my man, cause this clock won't mean so much to me, Merlin. Merlin, 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 I'm begging of you, please just leave him be. Merlin. From